Welcome, it is SharePoint Weekly, it is episode 59, and it is 11 November, yes, 11-11. Oh, this is the so-called Singles Day in the marketing terms, right? Because apparently that's a thing nowadays. I saw an advertisement.
What? Singles Day?
It's 1-1-1-1, so one, being a single, never mind. I think I
have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay,
clearly
not in Netherlands. I saw some
unless I'm living under a rock.
You might. So, anyway, it is Monday, 11th of November. We're recording this right before I'm heading to the airport again, which is frustrating.
Yeah, so you just came back from one on the weekend, right?
Yes, on Saturday. I arrived at home on Saturday, like 4 p.m. But then, hey, I had at least two nights at home, and then I'm heading to now Slovenia. So it is a good conference in Slovenia as well. It's actually a pity. It is a great conference. Slovenia is part of EU. They have Euro. It would be really easy to people to fly over, and it's cheap, but I don't think people are catching up on that conference because we're going to talk about, obviously, Ignite. We're going to talk about the latest and greatest in Ignite, all of the latest news for European audiences. Well,
so this is the first event on the European soil after Ignite where there will be sort of reiteration on the announcements,
right,
and other things, right?
And it is cool. Actually really cool. The speaker lineup is again awesome.
So which event is that? Because I don't think you mentioned it.
Thrive conference.
Thrive.
Oh, that's a good point. Now that we're remembering, we need to start mentioning these things much more efficiently. So welcome everybody to the SharePoint Dev Weekly. My name is Sasa Juvonen.
My name is Valdemar Stikas, and we're back for another week. Welcome.
Exactly. Okay. Great recap. No, like I said, I'm heading to Thrive Conference immediately when we stopped the recording. I was sent an email related on what it went through. And then I'll be back on Wednesday, so I'll just drop by for two nights, which is a good. And then it's silence for a while after Europe, before, and then the European SharePoint Conference is coming up as well.
So for a while, that means for you 3 weeks, roughly.
2 to 3, yeah, something like that. Yes, but that's more than enough to actually get some work done as well. This is work as well, and Ignite is work as well. But Ignite is actually super. Let's say, not frustrating. It's fun, but it's super, super energy training, at least for me, because I'm actually an introvert, like Waldeck at least knows, but I'm not sure if that many other people actually know. So it's one of those things where hanging in Ignite with all of the people and meeting people is actually a really tough thing to do. Doing this in the video, this is completely different because I'm talking to Waldeck, so not for the tens and tens of people dropping by. So now the Thrive conference will be much more easy. Luckily, it's a smaller conference rather than Ignite, but Ignite is really tough. One full week of meeting people, and it's fun, obviously, but at the same time, it is a tough thing to keep on doing. So.
But I mean, especially there, I mean, if you, like you, like for you, you have number of things, right? You got to be there. You present things, obviously. You have duty on the booth.
Yep.
And you are the face of SP Dev, right? So people approach you more easily. Like if they have anything to ask regarding anything dev from 2007-ish, 2006 up until now, which is many years, which means big audience, like they go to you because who else?
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, it puts you on the spot a lot. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess so. Yeah. But it's something obviously which comes with the role, and it's better to learn to deal with it. So as an ex-consultant, you learn to act, and that's how you deal with the situation. So, but that's, by the way, if somebody feels like, why didn't he come to say hi for me? It's actually really hard for me to do that. It's just people don't get it. Being an introvert, it's not like it's a natural thing of going to somebody and saying, hey, I saw you online. No, it's not. It's surprisingly hard. So
yeah, and also, so that is that. And also, on the other hand, and I don't mean it in bad way, it's just realities of life. There's one you, and there is 20 million folks asking you things. So
sure.
At the end of the day, like how many things you're being asked throughout the day by how many different folks? Like I don't dare to ask. Like a while back, I saw an email in my inbox from the My Analytics service in 365, where it would say, well, one of them says, how many different folks you interacted with throughout the week? Yep. I don't dare to ask how many folks you had, because I mean, for me, that I don't live in email,
yeah.
And also, like, I don't contact that many folks throughout the day. Whereas for you, that's probably in hundreds, if not more, right?
Yeah, it's quite a lot of people. Yeah, it's a pretty long day, and that's fine. Actually, that's more natural for me as well. So I'm absolutely fine coming back onto being an introvert and Ignite and being horrifying. It's more natural for me to deal with this stuff online and virtually. And I don't mind at all. It's just absolutely promoting the community, awesome community, because that's my job. It's not about me. It's about making sure that people understand all the awesomeness, what's happening. And sending emails and all of that throughout the day, not a problem. It is a big amount of people and a lot of things to coordinate. We have so many community calls. We have NDA community calls, MVP community calls, insiders community calls, public ones, and all of that. Organizing all of that is like quite a time consuming.
But I guess it's also great, and I think that is the first time, unless I'm mistaken, that this year at Ignite, I saw that they had, I don't know what was the exact name of it, but they had animals, and you could just spend some time around animals to de-stress or to relax.
They did have that last time as well. Maybe it was SBC, I can't remember, but that was really cool. So you could actually go and basically therapy dogs. So you could actually...
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, really cool. It seems silly, but to be honest, it's really a great thing, right? Because as you say, it's a big event, many people, and not everybody is comfortable in crowds. Yep. So at some point, if you can just, you know, limit the focus to that area around you, and it's just animals, and they're like, if you can relax like that, that's perfect. And it's really great to see that the organizers take that side of the humanity also into account.
I think it's a lot about the magic behind of the Anna Chu and her team who's organizing the events and making sure that everything is actually happening properly. And it's amazing how much time she seems to magically have in 24 hours. It's like,
well, I mean, she doesn't magically, she's probably extremely busy doing that, and it's great to see that it pays off, because I've seen folks like being thankful for everything from bacon that she spent time to select and pre-taste to even things like animals and swag, and just ensuring that everybody had great time from the venue, from picking up the badges already at the airport to going through a ride in the attraction. So it's cool.
Really great job. Now let's get back on that was more personal feelings on Ignite. So, but what about you? And you were remote. What was the number one things from Ignite which really caught your eyes?
So there are so many things going on, and with the work, I need to admit that I'm barely just was able to scratch surface of the announcements. Yep. So I watched a small part of the dev keynote. I went through the blogs, but there was like 99.9% videos and PowerPoint slides that I didn't see, just didn't get to it. From the things that I've heard, I love the announcement of Project Cortex.
Yep.
I think is the long overdue. And for me, it goes way back to the, I don't know if you recall that, there was a separate add-on to, I think it was Moz, there was the Knowledge Network add-on.
Yeah.
It was back in 2007, 2008. It was like way, way back. And it seems like finally now with the advent of cloud, and because everybody is, or many folks are in a cloud, and we have the power to analyze the data, to put
together
the links, exactly. Only now we can mine all of these insights and make it available to everybody. So I'm really thrilled about that announcement, and I'm curious to see more of it. Yep. That is one. There's
That was only a scratch of a surface. What will be there in the larger roadmap around the Cortex?
Yeah, and also like we have seen UI, but there is a big, big engine powering that actually that we won't see, right? Because at the end of the day, it's about helping people to work more efficiently and effectively. And all of these insights now will surface throughout our UI, right? So I'm curious to see more about that.
And I have to say, before you go forward on that, one of the key points over there is to understand also that now that we or have decided to go cloud first and truly cloud first and concentrate on cloud, now we can actually truly take advantage of all of these advantages and awesomeness what we have in Azure. Because we didn't actually announce on-premises versions. There might be, there might not be on-premises versions in the future, but there is this clear decision at some point after 2019 that we'll need to start betting on the cloud more efficiently, so we're able to take advantage of the truly the cloud awesomeness in scale, which
exactly
has an impact in on-premises as well. But it's evident that that's going to happen anyway. So
yeah, and it makes sense, right? Because I think that Microsoft being one of the biggest providers of cloud, it would be odd if you wouldn't benefit yourself of the resources that you have available and in which you can truly benefit and offer people more.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely.
So that was one. Two, what I found intriguing is the Visual Studio Online, like the ability to spin up your development environment in the cloud within minutes. Like that is cool, and also frees you from, I need a version of this, version of that, how do I click? You have your environment, fill in a few things, done, and it's there.
That's actually on that one. It's kind of interesting when I think about the Napa project, which was like 5 years ago or 4 years ago or something like that. Now we're truly getting there. Now it's like more natural that we are in a browser environment and in a cloud. But Visual Studio Napa was like, everybody was like, okay, what's with that?
Yeah, but I mean, that was like really simple, I think, for one particular thing, right?
And plus the fact that Napa means belly button in Finland. So for Finns, this was like, hey, what?
So wait a minute. In America, they're selling belly button wine.
Yeah, that's true.
Belly button.
You know, but I know the details out of it.
Yeah. It's going the wrong direction.
That's true. That is true. But anyway, sorry for interrupting.
Yeah.
You there.
So,
we're finally getting there, where it's actually a viable option. So.
Yeah, and also like it makes like the interesting thing is that things like that, it takes time to have them, right? Because I probably to have that, you have to have 20 million things first. And people who don't work on a feature don't always see dependencies or how things work behind the scenes. And then when somebody explains, like, okay, so we have this, and this also uses this stack. And then you realize, wait a minute. So in order for them to have that, they had to build this first and this first and this, which is why it's available only now as opposed to 3 years back.
Absolutely.
So off the top of my mind, I think that these are the biggest two. As I said, like I haven't had a look at everything, and I know that there are tons of improvement to SPFX. There are some things that have been shared about 1.10 coming. I'm not sure. Have you guys already shared when it's coming? Roughly, is it still this year or not?
Yeah, this week. This week. Whoopsie.
This year.
No, that will say, yes, exactly, not happening this week. This year, it's going to be released.
It depends when you're watching this.
If
you're watching this video in 3 weeks, then it will be that week.
That is true. So it might happen this week. That's true. Now, not on this week. We're finalizing and doing testing. Still, we want to make sure that when we're shipping to 1.10, it is in the right quality level as well, because we've been having some quality issues related on the previous releases. So we need to make sure that everything is working properly. So.
And then one more big thing that I almost forgot: Fluid.
Sure.
I am curious how will that merge together and become one with SPFX, because the last thing I'd like to see, and I think everybody else as well, is yet another model.
Yep.
So ideally, I would see Fluid intertwined with SPFX as being one, developers having one entry point, and then being able to build one thing and exposing them throughout service.
Fluid is basically, you might think Fluid as a protocol for doing real life communications and real life events between the different, let's say, organized different participants on that functionality. Mm-hmm. It's not a building framework as such. When you create a Fluid component, you actually create a SharePoint framework component or Office 365.
Microsoft. Gotcha. Okay, so in
and then you
that
take
way,
advantage of Fluid. Right. It's an underlying kind of a technology. You don't build Fluid.
It's so Fluid thing is not a thing. It's a protocol like sockets.
Almost like that. Yes.
That facilitates.
Correct.
Communication.
And then the SharePoint framework vNext, whatever it will be called, marketing will come up with the right name. I think we do call it already in the blog post, like yo at Microsoft 365. So Microsoft 365 components, and then you can, all of those are natively supporting Fluid if the canvas supports Fluid. So if the underlying canvas supports that, then it's automatically there if you want to take advantage of that.
So I guess that is a very, very interesting point, right? Because I think what tripped me off was the fact that at one point you guys announced and Fluid and canvases and the ability to have different components across different services, across clients, web parts, and all of that gives the impression that all of this is Fluid. But Fluid is just a small addition into that thing. And then the other thing is just the ability to expose your SharePoint or your components across multiple canvases, across service and clients. So I guess that it will be good to have one name for all of that. Like, as you say, M365 canvases or M365 components or whatever you call them. And then that consists of components, of extensions, and then one of the things that you could do is also Fluid that facilitates seamless communication between different canvases and actors.
We could actually, during the articles, let's have a look on the quick Fluid video, which we showed as part of the Jeff's keynote, because I think that helps on then clarifying what is it and what does it actually mean also. So let's get back on that one in the articles as well.
So that was about me. What about you? What are your top two or three highlights from
Project Cortex? Absolutely. So that's super, super interesting. And the second thing, what we're truly getting there is the modern portals. So there should no longer be any reason on building classic portals and classic box insights unless you have that massive, let's say, the requirements and customers like, no, I need to do crazy layout, and it's like, are you sure you want to do that? That's a separate discussion. Now you could actually still do application pages and create the crazy layout there in modern as well, which is one option of tackling that requirement. But we're getting the multilingual support, we're getting the scheduling support, we're getting a lot of additional goodness and metadata, taxonomy, modern taxonomy, admin UIs got a lot of attention as well.
I can imagine there's a lot of passion for, because the UI that we have now is what, from 2013 or 10?
I can't remember which one. Yeah, but it's one of those things where, it's an admin UI.
It's not admin UI, because if you are information analyst, you live in that UI.
Sure. That's true. That is so true. But then I think this proves the fact that we are absolutely still investing on the platform, and people love that the fact that we are moving forward with that one as well. So I think that was the concern what everybody was having around that.
Yeah.
Let me actually do one adjustment on the screen. And what else? OBS and Microsoft Teams integration with SharePoint is getting better and better. That's really cool as well. The Power Apps integration and with SharePoint is getting better and better. But the portals are super close to my heart to multiple reasons. And we worked on the lookbook designs quite hectically for the Ignite as well. So that has a pretty big impact, or it's super close to our heart to make sure that we're able to actually ship that as well. And we'll have a look on that one in a second as well. What am I missing? Fluid is obviously always interesting, but we actually had the community call last Thursday, and we recorded demos on 1.10 of what's coming, and then Fluid demos from Luca. And funny enough, unfortunately, out of blue, this never happened before, Microsoft Teams completely messed up the demos. It didn't get the screen sharing, which is like,
That's a shame.
Yeah, that was a really, really a shame. Now we're trying to re-record those during this week now, which is tough because I'm in Slovenia for a while, and then So we'll get them recorded sooner or later. But still, a pity.
But I mean, technology, right? At the end of the day, like, everybody tries to do their best. Things happen.
Sure.
There will be probably another excuse in 3 weeks or months time revisit that, because there'll be some new development and there will be another excuse to show it. And then
true. Absolutely, absolutely. And that's actually really interesting always. Now we went closer and closer to the Ignite. There was a lot of like, well, we didn't announce anything new. There was nothing we could actually show any new stuff. And now we have like massive amount of new stuff what we can actually cover. So as an example, to tomorrow, Tuesday, depending on when you're watching this video, today, Tuesday, because this goes live on Tuesday, and the monthly community call is with Melissa Torres, and we're going to talk about the hub sites, associated hubs, because you can do hubs which are associated to the hubs.
Kind of hub of hubs.
We don't call it hub of hubs, but still.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's fine. And then the site designs and site scripts, we're getting a lot of additional functionalities as well. So covering all of that in a monthly community call on the 12th of November. And if you're watching this later, go and have a look on the YouTube channel, the recording as well. If you're watching or listening this later, to be fair, the podcast. Now, let's actually jump on the articles. So let's go there. Because I do have a plane to catch. No rush.
Yes.
Now,
it's there.
Let's actually start with a shape on Saturdays, and then we'll do the quick video around the Fluid and then the other Microsoft functionalities, and then go back on the articles as well. But shape on Saturdays this week, Ahmedabad is happening. Really nice set of speakers here as well. Some familiar names, some MVPs working in here. And Nandeep has been really actively, as an example, contributed in our documentation and documents in the SharePoint dev area. Or Kirti has been active as well. Siddhar has been active as well. So there's a lot of familiar people. Oh, Gautam is there as well. Gautam is super active and been active for years around contributing on the areas. Modern provisioning techniques in Office 365. That sounds actually really interesting. I'd love to be on the audience of that one. Now, then we have this SharePoint Saturday from
Leicester.
We're having a chat on Leicester. Why do you add letters on the words if you don't pronounce them? It doesn't make any sense. It just doesn't. There's this Finnish comedian in US called Ismo, and he has this routine where he makes fun out of the words. It's almost like, what if you have silent letters, can't we have silent numbers? So I owed you $50, but the zero is actually silent, so it's now 5. I'll be here the whole week. And now in Leicester, see.
Slow clap.
Yeah. In Leicester, a lot of MVPs, in UK. Ball has been, as an example, not an MVP, at least yet, but he's been vital on the modernization framework work. Bill Ayers is there. Alexander Truskovich is there as well. Microsoft PFE from Germany. Patrick.
Bunch of folks. Marcel Haas, Martin Hatch.
Addis is here.
Hunt, Addis. Joel.
This is really cool. You would really great lineup, actually, at Joel. Yeah, absolutely. Really cool setup in here as well. And then the last one, Twin Cities. And let's have a look on the speaker list here as well. A lot of familiar faces here as well. Jonathan, Jason. There's a lot of actually familiar faces in here. Mike Fitzmaurice.
Yes.
Stacy. Stacy. A lot of familiar faces here as well. Susan. It's just really, really, really great list of people.
There you go.
Liz here as well. So there has to be multiple tracks as well, because there's so many people actually talking. So, but really, really great Saturday coming. I think it's the SharePoint Saturdays has been scheduled intentionally right after Ignite. So this will be the SharePoint Saturdays where they're gonna cover the latest what's being announced in Ignite on the specific topics. So really, really cool stuff. Now, before we go to the next one, let me actually show the video around the Fluid. So let's talk about that one slightly. So let me actually start that one. And that should actually work about there.
Yes.
If the refresh rate is adequate. But the whole point of this one is that it is a relatively quick video. And the whole point of this one is that you have that real-time collaboration opportunities between multiple different applications, in this case, between PowerPoint, between PowerPoint, between SharePoint, the Fluid preview canvas, and Outlook as well. And then in your mind, you can imagine that I can actually send even the email to somebody and they can start collaborating on that one. And when they modify something on the email, it is actually modified on the original document behind the scenes. So there's always the final truth. In this case, it would be the Fluid Canvas in here, where actually the information is being stored. And then from here, we copied one component, PowerPoint, SharePoint, or an email, and people can collaborate together. So really cool runtime. And it is this fast. So it's almost real-time collaboration between the different environments. And the fact that you can share components, so I can actually send a component, for example, a set of tables or a section to Waldeck and ask Waldeck to update that section. And that will be then written back on the original document. So you can actually take a fractions of the documents and send them for review. And I think that's super interesting as well. Yes. But again, you can also take advantage on that one in your custom implementation. So really, 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 really cool stuff.
Nice.
Good. Let me actually close that window and let's go in here. One more super close to our heart, like I said, we talked about it already, SharePoint Lookbook. So we've been super closely now working together with marketing and vendors on making this happen. A lot of different new templates created using the templating. Well, technical the designs obviously are created by our design team. But then behind of all of these templates, you actually have an actual tenant template, PMP tenant template, which you can add to your tenant. So you can actually provision all of these cool looking sites to any tenant in the world. And that's actually really great. So if we only would have had this when I was a consultant and doing pre-sales for my customers, because it's like spin it up and provision, and then potentially just add a customer specific theme, and voila, you actually have a really cool looking, let's say the landing page, the SharePoint root page, or the landing page of the port company, and with example content, with example images, and all of that stuff. And that's really, really great stuff. The one thing to note here, it does require that you're a tenant administrator. So you can get a free tenant for developer usage from the Office 365 developer program or trial tenants. So you can actually provision them the content in. We are actually looking into making this requirement to potentially go away. And there are certain APIs which should not require that you're a tenant admin, but they do right now. It requires then that's required.
Yeah, and also probably it depends a lot whether the template you select has any custom web parts that we have built or community has built or not.
Yes, if the template contains custom web parts, then it's always the tenant admin operation. But these templates actually don't. So the majority of these templates which we're seeing right now are just designs, out of the box designs, which you can use as starting point with demo purposes or innovation. For great designs as well.
And it's really cool to see how far we've come, right? And I believe that I repeat that every single time we talked about Lookbook, but it's really like, I recall the time when Modern was announced and it looked clean, but it was limited to with regards to what you could do. And now that we're here, that you're showing this, it's really great to see the rich UIs that people can build. And all of this, as you've said, is out of the box. Like there's no custom CSS in that or filling with pages. No, it's like you put things on a page that you want to show, you lay things out in a way that makes sense to you, and you're done. So it's minutes of work as opposed to days long projects, very expensive, and so on.
Yeah, and a lot of out-of-the-box functionalities like my recent documents and my recent sites and all of that functionalities, my news, personalized context, contextual information out of the box, so you don't have to necessarily build a customization for it anymore, which is really cool.
Yeah.
Good. Nice. Moving on the article side of the house around the customizations. So this one is actually really cool from Akash around adding a list item comment set view, which you can use actually to thumbnails around any article or any image using Microsoft Graph. So using the Microsoft Graph, you can then select, I want to have a medium or large thumbnail, and you'll get a link out of it, and then you can paste that to the browser, and voila, and there it is. If you want, for example, then share that link to somebody and for them to get access on it, or use it as let's say in the pages or in a content as well. So really nice setup of combination of using SharePoint framework and the list view command sets and Microsoft Graph. Really, really nice setup. This one is really cool from
Federico, all the way on the top.
Yes, absolutely.
All the way on the top.
Focus. Yes, site collection, app catalog, summary view. So we don't have a really nice, let's say, view on getting list of all of the site collections where the site collection app catalog has been enabled. And this is really around having a web part, for example, added on your app catalog site, which will then list all of the site collections where the app catalog has been enabled. And this basically then walking through and then additional insights there as well. So you can actually have something like, hey, which of these applications have been enabled, how many instances and all of that available as well, because that's being exposed in the API as well. So really, really cool stuff. What is the version deployed, the installed version, is client-side solution, all of these flags available. So this is cool, really cool implementation available from Frederico. So thank you for that one. Here from Rajaman, building Microsoft Teams bot, get the team context details, including Office 365 group and SharePoint site URL. So this is really around the fact that how do we use the Microsoft Graph to get access on the Teams context and getting access on all of the different URLs and assets which are related on the team as well. Really cool stuff as well. Nice. And useful. SPFX web part connecting external API. So this is a world news web part. I don't believe I did this now, but it's good that people are sharing this, and it's great that people are able to actually make these things happen. And it is really around the fact that how do you connect to an external URL or external location and then expose the data based on that using SharePoint framework. So really, really cool stuff again, super useful. And then using document card view from the Office UI Fabric React library to expose the needed data what you're exposing. Yeah. So really cool stuff as well. So great job, Vara Sekar. So that's what it is. Here from David, Dave, unless I'm completely mistaken, David was not unfortunately in Ignite, but he was clearly watching what's happening. And
one of the things VS Online.
So, and this is basically a clarification, pretty fast actually, on how do you make SharePoint framework work in the Visual Studio Online? What do you need to do to get started? What does it mean? And how do you install the things? And that's it. Then you can actually create the solution and you're good to go. So yep. That's really cool. Really cool stuff. This is from Paolo. Paolo is Paolo's series around PSO's Tech Bytes, episode 75. We need to catch up. See? but Paolo is basically explaining connecting to SharePoint Online with BMP PowerShell in an Azure function. Quite actually typical story for what people need to do. So, well, they don't need to do, but actually quite often being used. So people use BMP PowerShell in the Azure functions to connect back on the SharePoint Online. And you can
automate things, yeah.
Yes, and you can use Azure, you can use app only as well because BMP PowerShell supports that. And there's multiple other ways of making that happen. So one thing to notice, this is Azure Functions V1 because the native CSM.NET core or standard version is not yet available. There is some good news, by the way, on that one. So right now, the ETA is the first calendar quarter of the next calendar year, so 2020.
Woohoo! That would be really
getting
cool.
Getting there, hopefully, crossing fingers. No promises at this point, but there's movement. There is movement.
Very nice.
Hopefully we'll get there. And then the last one is actually also from Microsoft. This one was really cool as well. So that was announced to be in preview in Ignite. But what you can do is that if you use some, let's say, any of the Graph APIs, you can actually get also even the code snippets. So there's C#, there's JavaScript, and there's Java, and there's Objective-C available as the implementation style of that call. And that's actually
I like that to be one more thing in there, SPFX. And I mean, maybe that's the same JavaScript, maybe that's the same thing, but I think there is a big audience who uses Graph and also builds things in SPFX. And if that was available in there, it would make it so much easier for them to use this and to work more efficiently. So if anybody from the Graph team listens, and I mean, it's I'm probably sure you accept PRs for this because all of this is open source.
Good thing.
So yeah, maybe that is also a great way to contribute to this. If you are an SPFX person who works with Graph and there is a way to contribute to that, that would be really great.
Yeah, so and that would definitely have a lot of value. So JavaScript is slightly different than SPFX because that's TypeScript and you're in the context of SharePoint framework. So you get access from through the HTTP Graph client. It is still the Graph SDK behind of the scenes, but it's looking slightly different. So it's not far-fetched, but it's still slightly different. So definitely good and valid comment and from Waldeckstein. But I think that's it for now. So let me actually close the screen sharing and let's do some quick summary. So what's going to do this week? Are you busy on doing strategic thinking on the products or?
Well, both tactical and strategy. So we are thinking, or recently, I mean, maybe I'm late to the party, realized that like building, and I think we already talked about this in the past, like building things is the easy part. Deciding what to build, because you can build anything, and then bringing that to market, finding out what to build, what people need, like all of that, that is so much effort. And I think there was a quote from Albert Einstein who said, like, if he had an hour to solve an issue, he would spend 55 minutes to think about or to try to understand the issue, and then 5 minutes to solve it.
Yeah,
because it's so important to really understand what is it actually that you're trying to solve. And I guess that it's exactly the same in product world. But it's like developers at heart have really tendency to let me put something together. Let me, because I get it. I understand it. Let me build things. And then it's so easy to do the wrong thing because you never, ever, ever get clear feedback regarding like, I need this. Or when people say they need that, they cannot really wrap their head around what's possible and what really the issue is. And only when you understand that, you can then feed the bag and try to think about different things to go around it. So yes, I will definitely spend last week on that. I will spend this week on that and probably many coming weeks still doing exactly the same thing, trying to think about what challenges people have in 365 and on-prem, and what is the best way for us to help them with basically doing, if you think about it at large, like doing more with 365. Because oftentimes we talk to companies who really have hard times keeping track of what people do across their tenants, because there are so many different things. There are so many knobs you can turn to make it your own, to make it work for you, but there is no single place from which you can keep track of all of that. Sure, there is the admin center for Power Automate, for Power Platform, for SharePoint, for Exchange, for Azure, but you have to keep track on all of them. And that takes time and it's really efficient. So we try to help people to work more efficiently with that. So that is one. And then two, another thing that I want to mention briefly is that last week, we have just added a new command in the Office CLI for SPFX that allows you to quickly externalize all dependencies to third-party libraries that you have in your package. In SPFX, you can really easily add dependency to something external, like, or something else like jQuery, Angular, React, UI Fabric, whatnot. There are million packages on NPM into which you can tap, and you can pull all of that in,
and then you'll be
exactly. The downside is it's going to be big, and then if you have multiple packages, each one of them will have their own copy, so it will be inefficient. Yep. With CLI, you can now quickly turn all of these references into external links, meaning URLs that can be cached in browser and also cached in proxies and so forth and so on. So we have now a preview version of a command that allows you to do it really easily. Yeah. And we'd love to hear from you. If you are an SPFX dev, please give it a try. Get the latest preview of CLI. Get the command. We will get the link exactly, giving you examples, what it is, how it works. Give it a try. Tell us what you think, whether you think it's enough already or whether there's something else you'd like to see. It's a big, big, big effort from Vincent Biret, who did all of the work. Now that it's available, we'd love to hear from you how you like it.
Yeah, and he's working in two lead company. And by the way, this is now bundling into the SPFX side of the CLI, right?
Correct.
So now we have two commands on that side. So we did demo actually the upgrade command quickly, or we touched that yesterday. Yesterday.
And it feels like yesterday.
Yeah, it feels yesterday. Yeah. But yeah, really good. Sounds really useful, because that's really powerful. First of all, you can use the CLI to upgrade to the latest version. Super powerful scenario, and then also then to improve the performance by externalizing stuff. So super, super powerful. Absolutely. Also for me, the next 2 days will be in Thrive conference. Well, today's traveling, and that's going to mess up my schedules completely. But then flying back on Wednesday, I'll be back home like 6 or 7 p.m. So luckily then on Thursday or Friday, I can actually concentrate on actual work finally. I just need to learn to say no. I would love to visit these conferences more and more, but it's so time consuming. And then there's the day job as well. And presentation is fun, but then prepping and all, making sure that everything is fine on the right adequate quality level for you is really hard.
Yeah, exactly.
Not like you'll just show up. You actually need to figure out what I'm going to present, what are the demos, what are the things, making sure that everything works. Is it being accurate? There's a certain quality expectation limits, at least in my head, which I can't go below that.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's fine. It's fine. We're getting there. And then holiday season starts soon as well. So starting from the end of November, things slow down definitely in the US anyway, because after holiday, after the Thanksgiving, which is the weekend before European SharePoint conference, things are slowing down. Well, maybe the first week of December is still busy because of the European SharePoint conference, but that it's slowing down after that, which is good.
Meaning you will have more quiet hours to work.
Yes, actually making things happen. So it's really hard to find the right balance on things. But it is what it is. That's my problem, not your problem. So, but cool. I think that's it for now. So thanks everybody for watching or listening, depending on are you using the video or the podcast version. Please do give us feedback. We need to understand what are the things, what you need to hear more. We're trying to kind of balance non-technical learnings and personal aspects, and then the articles on the one always the one weekly bundle. But I would be highly interested on hearing what is the things what people would be more interested on hearing more. So is it more
clear? Why do I think it's gonna be, yeah, we kinda like the mix.
Yeah, that's
because it's always like that. I mean,
quite often that's the case.
For the, let's say, the personal growth and the personal side of things, and also like the latest tech. I think it's sure. It's a good way. So
it's a good balance.
And that reminds me, now that you mentioned the podcast that we do, that reminds me that we need to do a better job exposing the RSS feed URL of podcast for people to consume the podcast, because apparently it's not obvious how they can get it. So
yeah, absolutely makes sense. One step at a time, we'll get there.
Exactly. Just another thing on the list, right?
Exactly. Just one thing on the to-do list, or Microsoft to-do nowadays. I'm really, really, truly trying to focus on getting there.
No post-its anymore on your desk?
No, all clean.
Yeah, but they are probably now in your bag.
Yeah, they're on pile on somewhere right now. And then I'm going to migrate all of them to the Microsoft To Do. I'm now using that for the reactive things already, so which actually is highly helpful. Now I'm forcing myself to learn how to do that, which is super hard. But hey, it's a habit. As long as it grows to be a habit, then it's all good. Because then you can use it in mobile phone, you can use it in tablet, you can use it in any computer. So.
Yeah, and then you can, when you are on, well, but on the other hand, there is something to say, like not being able to do work. Like you go out to woods with your dog, don't do work. Don't have anything on your phone. Exactly.
Of course, that's not working time. That's private time. So
exactly. So, yeah.
Well, get there. No later. I would love to go to that forest, but I can't because I need to go to the airplane. So the airport pretty soon. But thank you everybody for listening. Thank you everybody for watching. Thank you, Waldeck, once again. Next time, let's try to schedule a visitor again so we get some new blood on the discussion as well. Somebody who was potentially in Ignite, and we can talk about those feelings, because that's an interesting thing as well. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
But anyway, thanks everybody. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Have a great week. Bye.